day. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, last week we talked about the challenges of missions, in particular when it comes to going to the mission field, you know, obviously whether it's one going or the church sending. There are challenges to the mission field that are often overlooked and people go ill-prepared. So that we brought that point out. We talked about the cultural challenge. We talked about the linguistic challenge. And there were two others that we didn't get to do because we ran out of time.
Right. And as we think about that, I just think that sometimes there's a romantic concept of missions, going to another place, doing something really significant. So that needs to be measured with or balanced with some of these things
we're
going
to talk about. When it often reflects our life here in the sense of just getting up in the morning and you know, doing the normal day-to-day activities, and I think people fail. Obviously, you're in a different country, different cultures. It's going to be some differences, but eventually that becomes just the norm, you know. So we jump in. The next one is the financial. Number three, the financial challenges. What do we mean by that, besides the obvious?
Well, I think financial challenges are multiple and some that our listeners might not think of. But aside from the fact that you may get there and not have enough money or it might be tight or whatever, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we mentioned also that some denominations have done a good job of developing a program that supports their missionaries. And Southern Baptists have done that over the years. And I've not been a part of Southern Baptist life for a while, but I know the cooperative program was significant in some of the other programs they had to supplement that. Both
if
for,
not fully support them in a good way.
Yeah, then Conservative Baptists did the same thing for years. I don't know what they do now. So there's that, but then there are all these independent organizations, and most of those you go through, you have to raise your support, because that's a place to begin.
So raising support is a challenge.
Yeah, you think about that. You know, if you're not a salesman by nature and good at selling yourself and have an outgoing personality, it could be a real struggle for you. Asking for money could be a struggle.
That's true, but even if I'm a salesman, that's what I do by trade.
Right.
And but I have. If I had to raise support to go in the mission field, I would struggle with that.
Yeah, yeah. You're actually going and you're asking people, give me money.
Right.
Give my, you know, it's there's a difficult.
There are four people in our church right now. One of them's already on the field that I've watched go through this. There's three of them right now that I'm watching go through this. And as I watch them go through this, it is a huge struggle. I get to hear them. They tell me their struggles. And I think the biggest hump is just asking, will you give to us to support us?
Right.
Will you give
will
your
you support
money?
Us? Yeah. Yeah. What can I count on you for? I know when, you know, my younger son, Michael, your brother, is in politics, and he's managed some campaigns, smaller ones and larger ones. And one of the things he's told candidates, you've got to ask for money. You've got to ask them to write a check. And he said, none of these candidates, most of them don't want to ask that question. They don't want to ask somebody for money. Now, you take that, translate that in the Christian realm, in the church, and Christians don't want to ask other Christians, give me money. You know.
Right.
But here's the thing. Scripture tells us that those who live by the gospel, those who work the gospel, work in the gospel, must live by the gospel. And I don't think there's any shame in asking. Now, you have people talk about Hudson Taylor, and he didn't ask for anything. He said, God provided. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Or George Mueller or whatever.
Yeah. It is not wrong to ask people to support the work of the gospel.
Well, Paul even tells people they need to be willing to support. Now, he said, I don't, because he didn't want to put undue pressure on the people that he was ministering to. But he definitely didn't discount it at all.
No, he didn't say it was wrong. It was just a personal thing for him as an apostle. And
well, could part of the challenge, and I know we kind of have to transition and move on here, but could part of the challenge not only be us personally, just being willing to do that, but also there's a kind of a built-in fear that people are just not willing to support. They're not willing to do it.
Yeah.
We
assume
as
they don't want
to. Would give.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just saying those of us who would give actually don't give.
Yeah.
We're very tight with our money.
Yeah.
We hold it very tight to us. And so it's like, I don't need to give to that. I'm not going to give to that.
Right.
So maybe we add to that fear. We add to that struggle.
By our own attitudes toward money. Yeah.
Right.
Which leads us to a second thing. If somebody's going to go on the mission field, it's very possible they're going to have to live on less. Now, I have a brother who is has to raise support, and he works with child
abuse. Your actual brother.
Yeah, an actual brother. Really, yeah. My biological brother, he's a missionary with Awana, and that's a challenge for them, constant challenge to keep that full support. In fact, they still don't have full support, and that's one of the things I pray for them. And some of these missionary groups require you to get, if not 100%. Full support, like 90% or something right. like that.
Most of them are 100% actually.
Well, and they understand once you get on there,
right,
you're not going to have the time to do it. So, but it is possible you have to learn to live on less. That's not a bad thing, and that's something, you know, we don't have to have some of the things we think we have.
Right,
you know?
But on the flip side, I think we as believers need to get rid of some of our preconceived ideas about pastors, missionaries, people who are in the ministry, that somehow those people, I'm giving the opposite here. I'm giving the person who would be giving because I'm not going to the mission field.
Right.
Yeah, these are challenges and struggles we need to prepare people for, but we as a church need to help people alleviate some of those challenges.
Yeah, we need to realize
right.
that their kids still
need shoes,
our kids
are going to go to school,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. And they're not going
to
live.
Oh, and they might need a vacation.
They're
just
not
like going
to live toyless lives,
right.
you know, and that sort of thing. So, so those are things we need to think of as givers,
right.
as senders. We need to think: do we want them to go and be distracted?
They need vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. So, do we want them to go and be distracted by
right.
The lack of funds? And,
right.
and so that's both sides of that issue. And then there's the whole thing of going some places and our lives, the life of a Westerner. Now we're talking from the term of
right.
folks going from the West, especially from the U.S., and going into a place where they have less, and so now what we have is compared to what they have. Can that close doors for the gospel? They see us as sort
right.
of those rich, wealthy Westerners, you know, Anglos or whatever case may be, and that's something that the person or the couple going must keep in mind. Okay, are you willing to at least not give the impression you're this wealthy guy just coming in a condescending way to look down? That can give that impression of something to remember. It's a challenge
right.
financially. Now, another challenge, though, that comes up, that came to me as I was thinking through this, it wasn't a challenge in days past. In days past, if you went to all these third world countries or whatever, you know, most of the time you were going to have more than the people there.
Right.
And you were coming from an economy that was strong and vibrant to deflated economies, and so your money went a lot farther there,
mm-hmm.
or further there. But now that's not necessarily the case. You can go to a place like Dubai, and we know some folks there, and the economy there is inflated.
Yeah, we complain about a cup of Starbucks, coffee costing us $3 or $4. Theirs is $6 to $8.
Yeah, a hamburger is what, $9 or something.
Yeah, $10.
So
ridiculous.
You think about that.
It's almost
now,
as bad as going to an NFL game.
Now they right, all the time.
Right.
So now these folks who are on the mission field have to be able to function in that situation. They may not have to have a Starbucks coffee, but they do have to have a gallon of milk or whatever,
right.
or eggs or whatever the case may be, or beef. Those things can
However,
be very expensive.
Dubai, depending on where you're working, if you're working with refugees, it may be different. But in Dubai, there are a lot of well-to-do people there.
Yeah.
And so you're probably going to engage with them and go to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You're probably going to do some of that.
Right. You're going to have to.
So you got to buy it.
It's not that you're just wasting money by
right.
going to those kind of places.
Right.
Those are the kind of people you're going to try to engage. You're going to be engaging both ends of the spectrum and people in between. So,
right.
So that challenge of these inflated economies in places, maybe even like I was thinking Singapore and places like that. So those are some of the financial challenges, and we need to prepare people for as the body of Christ.
Well, I think we need to prepare them, but I think we need to prepare everyone in the body of Christ for this. I think not only those who are going, but those of us who are sending, and we've already been stating this from the outset, that it doesn't need to be a one-dimensional challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a two-dimensional challenge. Those of us who are going need to help alleviate some of this, and those who are going need to obviously realize that things could be different.
It's a sender-goer situation.
Right.
I think that we need to think, okay, what if I were in a place where we've talked about cultural challenges, and we've not even gotten to spiritual challenges, we've got all these pressures, wouldn't I want to get away once in a while. Maybe just, you know, a vacation. You mentioned that. Not a vacation just so I can go. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do to get away and just come back refreshed and renewed. So, yes, that's necessary.
Well, real quick before we move on, living on the whole less thing, there is actually, just come to my mind, there's actually some friends of ours who are going to be missionaries to Belgium. It's a very, where they're going in Belgium, I believe it's Brussels. There's a very, very well-to-do people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people they're going to be interacting with.
Right.
Now, you're not going to have a mansion. That's not what we want.
Right.
But at the same time, a hindrance to the gospel would be living in a small little cramped place and having people over to that. That's just not going to work.
Living in a hovel where you...
It's not going to work. If you're going to engage with people who are well-to-do, you're going to have some modicum of ability to be able to do that.
Yeah, you're going to have to fit.
Right. Yeah. Whereas if you go to a third world country where they're living in huts, you have a different challenge, the opposite spectrum.
It's the other way around.
But both of them are equally challenging and have to be addressed and met.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get rid of our preconceived ideas that somehow that they're going to just live in a rich life. No, they're going to live in a different challenge.
They are. They're ministering to people in a certain setting, and that needs to be remembered.
Okay, so moving on, we got the financial challenge, last of all, the spiritual challenge, really the most important one, which I go back to, we send people ill-prepared. You know, people we wouldn't even consider, like especially if you're church planning, would consider being an elder or a pastor or church. We send
to the mission field. That doesn't make a lot of sense. In many ways, what we just talked about are spiritual challenges.
Everything,
But we want to talk about some of the inward personal challenges. We want to talk about some of the more outward struggles and challenges that come. And as far as inward challenges, one is just our own personal spirituality, our own personal walk and growth. You know, that has to be maintained, and it would be easy to get so busy doing the work that that gets left out. You know,
you yourself get neglected.
Yeah, and when you get on the mission field, certain inadequacies or weaknesses are magnified.
It's like being a pastor in some respect.
It is. Yeah, and you're kind of under it. So if there are issues that haven't been dealt with, they ought to be. And you can be assured that there will be some personal inward struggles, and it may have outward manifestation that will come up. And,
right.
I know that just temptation.
Right.
The temptation. I had a fellow who our church is supporting, and we just had a fundraiser for them not too long ago. And I asked him what's the biggest challenge. He said, "Well, truth is, the biggest challenge is personal relationships," and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I say it's inward because even with husbands and wives, this sense of, you know, I'm sacrificing, therefore I deserve a break. You know, I deserve this, you know, and that can get us in trouble big time, self-pity and those kinds of things.
So really we're talking about things that can include anything from our marriage to our family, our children, to personal. This covers a very broad spectrum.
It does. It starts
spectrum.
Inside. It starts from who we are in Christ or not.
So let me ask this question. Is it possible that we have not thoroughly, and no one's ever completely discipled, so I have to preface that, that past tense is not until Jesus comes, right?
Right.
But we haven't thoroughly discipled the people that we are sending on the field.
There's a certain level of maturity we would want people to have if they're going. There are certain things that ought to be addressed. People ought to be obviously growing, mature Christians. That ought to show. And we don't want to throw somebody out there to the lions, and I use that figuratively, but to the spiritual lions who will devour them and not have them prepared. So we need to address that. And that's what the church ought to be doing anyway. We're going to talk about how can a church prepare people for missions. One is just address their spiritual growth.
Right. And this is that you and I talked about this before we came on, but I think this whole section right here is going to bring up a question of, okay, so we've talked about all these challenges. Okay, so now what does the church do to face these challenges?
Right.
We kind of touched on it, but hopefully in another episode we're going to deal with that more particular. So we talked about the inward challenge. Finally, what about the outward challenge? What do you mean by that outward challenge?
Well, let's transfer that
spiritually speaking,
that family thing over into husbands, wives, and siblings. Those tensions, the temptation to be unfaithful maritally, the idea that no one will know, and so those outward temptations, inward trials, outward trials, outward temptations are certainly a part of that. There are other missionaries. This one fellow I talked to is a missionary, said the relationship thing is big, and that missionaries don't get along
with each other.
Yeah, they just don't get along with each other. And, wives just saying, I'm out of here. They need to know this when they go.
Well, he actually told me this in a Skype call that I did with him, just kind of, we were touching base, and this particular missionary you're talking about, he told me that they had initially started with another group of people, because when you go to plant a church in an unreached tribe, you have to kind of plot it out, inspect it, feel it out, mm-hmm. see where it is, see right. what you're getting into before you go. And they started out with this one group of people, and they ended up having to disband because the people weren't getting along. And, I mean, it happens.
Right.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. And then to go along with that is some people of a strong view of the gospel follow up on people who've given a really weak, humanistic,
right.
emotionalistic, unbiblical view of the gospel. You've got to undo all that.
Which that same missionary has had to deal with that.
Exactly, and it doesn't happen overnight. This is a lifetime thing. It's going to take years. And so that asks us the question, and I talked about this before. We're going to leave. There's this whole challenge of leaving what we know, what we're comfortable with, and then the challenge of going to a place that we don't know, and then staying long enough to make a difference, which these people have committed themselves to a lifetime, or at least a major portion of their life.
Yeah, because people are having a hard time staying.
Yeah.
They get on the film, they can't.
It's not unusual for them to go for a term and say, no, I can't do this, we've got to go back. So think in terms of, this is my life calling, I'm going to give my life to this, and getting the gospel right in front of these people.
I mean, okay, you say that. Is it wrong to say, hey, we're going to try this for 4 years? Do a kind of a, I don't know, a test?
Maybe not. I'm not going to say it's wrong. Right. I wouldn't say that, but I just think we do need to think in terms of long-term
right.
work
giving your
so
life
that things get done.
Right.
You know. So the other one outward challenges, and we're up against it on time here, but people run into places where there's occultism, animism, obvious outward manifestations of satanic activity. Satan's active whether you see that or not.
Right.
You know, sometimes he's most effective when you don't see that. So
right.
we don't need to overdo it. But there are places where that happens. I've talked to missionaries when I was in seminary, men who've come back from the field after being there for a while, and the things they've run into. I know Stephen Oford tells of growing up in Ghana and seeing people, witch doctors and others, who did some bizarre and really personally destructive things. So you just need to be ready spiritually to face those kind of things. This is not all the challenges, but it's certainly, I think it addresses many that folks, the church and those who are going to face.
I don't know if you can say people will be fully prepared, because I don't know if you could be ever fully prepared, but you do not want to be ill-prepared.
That's right. You don't want to be intentionally or even unintentionally not prepared.
You want to be prepared to the point that you can face the challenge that will come to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can apply what needs to be applied from the Word of God while you're there in the midst of it.
I think that safely wraps up part two of the challenges.
Right.
So we'll move on to next week to our different deal. But we do thank people for joining us today. So we look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.